been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. How's it going, everybody? Thanks for listening to us. Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me, as always, he's a little depressed. Josh, what's going on, man?
Yeah, we're just talking about that, man. It's the end of the year. Are you kidding me right now?
I can't believe it. I can't believe how many shows we've done this year. I can't believe...
Or in total.
Yeah, I can't believe how many games we've seen. I can't believe the season.
Players got hurt.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've done...
Players got hurt. Losses we endured.
Yeah, yeah. What I think the final count was, 21 guys on injury reserve?
Dude, I lost count after Flacco. I was thrown in the towel.
Yeah, it's been a crazy season. We're going to review. What's up?
Obviously we follow WWE, man. It's like all the superstars are getting hurt in WWE. All the Ravens players got players. I mean, I think 2015 was just the injury bug, man. I mean,
You
had all the superstars out it's like the Ravens. Like, the Ravens were trying to call in, like, old reinforcements. I mean, they called, like, some players back up, and it's like the superstars. Like, they're reaching for Chris Jericho, The Rock, and everybody else, like, because they have nobody on the roster. So it's like the Ravens, I felt like it's like everybody was on injured reserve. There's no superstars, and we just got to call these guys up, man. It's just how the season was.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're going to talk about this Ravens season, this past Ravens game. But I'm thinking in the future, you know, we're going to get more onto the business side of the NFL because it's the off season now for the Ravens. But I think that you and I might be getting together and we might be doing some, you know, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, potential previews and our picks, you know, especially.
Well, did you hear the big announcement last night?
Yeah, the title is now going to be up for grabs in the Royal Rumble match.
I don't think that's ever happened except maybe once.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's defended it, but it's been up for grabs because somebody got hurt. That's how Ric Flair got his first world title in the WWF at the time. But Roman Reigns. This is another thing that the McMahons have him up against. And I got my predictions for that, but we'll get that down the road. So
we'll have to do a Rumble / Super Bowl champion. There's a lot of things happening.
Oh yeah,
even though the Ravens season's over, we never stop here on the call. We still get it going.
That's right. So here we are. We're gonna do a Red Eye review. We're gonna do we're gonna talk about that Cincinnati Bengals game, even though there's not a lot to talk about there. We'll talk about the whole year, what we're gonna look for. Talk about what they might talk about in the presser coming up later this week. Just start off with this game. It was a loss against the Bengals. Not a lot to talk about in this game. Not a lot of good things, not a lot of bad things to talk about in this game. This game just kind of happened. What were your thoughts on it? Is there anybody that impressed you in this game?
There were some impressed. I mean, I was still impressed with Ryan Mallett, how he handled himself. Brandon, the only thing is, I mean, he threw the pick. I mean, it wasn't really telegraphed, but Burfict made a great play. I mean, he dove after the ball, made a great interception. So, I mean, you can't fault a football player for making a great play. It wasn't like he overthrew the guy and he had Aiken or Butler or anybody's guys wide open. He put the ball there. It just was telegraphed and, you know, the guy made a play. But I think overall, the running game got going a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think the defense played solid. I mean, you have to understand. I mean, we talked about this and how crazy it is. The second half of the year, we had a top three defense in the NFL. I mean, no one was running on us, and our pass defense was top flight in the second half. We finally got our footing. So, I mean, so it goes to say, I mean, like Harbaugh even reiterated, we have the talent. We had the players making plays. It didn't culminate to a winning effort because it was like there was pieces missing here. But I definitely want to talk about this, okay? Jimmy Smith, he's been on our team, 4 to 5 years now?
He's been here a while.
How is he not still turning around and looking for the football? You're taught that at how long ago in your career? Like, I just don't understand. And we're not NFL quarters, Brandon, but we know it's common sense. You're defending – and we do it in backyard football. You're defending a receiver, whether it's street ball, backyard ball, a snow day football game, your turkey bowl on Thanksgiving morning. You turn around when the ball's thrown and your defender looks. It's a natural habit. But I don't understand why Jimmy Smith just doesn't turn his head and he's covering with his back to the play. It's just uncalled for, man. It's got to stop.
And Jimmy Smith had something very interesting to say after this game was out. He talked to the press a little bit, talked to the Ravens website, and he brought up the fact that that foot injury he got last year was still affecting his play. That's why we didn't see him in the preseason games. And we saw him eventually get better and better as the year went on because he still wasn't 100% with that foot. I have to imagine after getting an injury like that, you are a little bit scared. You're a little bit wary of what you can still do. Because you've felt the pain of what that injury is. You don't want it to happen again. So I'm wondering, is that affecting his play to this day? And maybe not in a physical way, but maybe in a mental way of, I shouldn't turn around at this point or that point because that's where I got hurt last time.
I don't know, man. I mean, you can make a scapegoat for injuries. I mean, that's a part of it. And we know Jimmy's had a couple battles there, but I mean, if you want to talk injuries, you're talking Webb. Webb already admitted he can't cover pretty much. So it's like, do you keep him on staff? So we're going to cover that in the offseason because there's a lot of pieces that might be missing here that we've seen this over the past year. A lot of salary cap casualties that we can cover, and we'll cover in depth the salary cap maybe as we get into the combine here starting in February and recapping draft. But we do know that we have the sixth spot in the NFL draft coming up here, top 10 pick.
That's right. That's right. And
so, and given our 5-11 record, it's not too bad. I mean, everybody was saying how the wins and we are playing to win every game and it would have cost us. I mean, guys, I think we appeased the draft trackers per se. And, oh, we're going to get a top pick. Tennessee Titans have the number one overall as determined, and we have number six in the draft.
Number six.
So still not bad.
Yeah, like you said, not a bad choice there. You're definitely going to be able. And that's another thing. You think of those top. What do you want to say? Top three, you're probably looking at a quarterback. You're probably looking at a place where a team has a giant hole to fill. The Ravens really don't have that. The Ravens have
I beg to differ.
Okay. All right. We
don't have a whole big receiver and corner. They need coverage because look in the AFC North, man. We got Antonio Brown tore it up. You have to tip your hat bow to this guy. This guy's ungodly. At a receiver, and Julio Jones led the league in receiving, but you have A.J. Green, you have Antonio Brown in this division, you have Andy Dalton, you have Ben Roethlisberger, and the Steelers have weapons. They got, you know, Marcus Wheaton, and they also got a Martavis Bryant. I think we need corners to cover because, like we all agree on the podcast, we could probably go back in the vault and find it, and we agreed, me and you, that if it wasn't for Jimmy Smith getting hurt last year, we would have beat New England and probably would have been in the AFC title game, let alone the Super Bowl at least. So we had pass defense there. It's pass coverages. Yeah, we need help receiver-wise. We get Steve Smith back, and I think we'll have the receiver help. But I think our glaring is there's three phases. There's four. We need pass rusher. We need corners. We probably need a safety. We need a whole secondary. Basically, we need all four players in the secondary, and barring Jimmy Smith stays here, which probably will happen. And we need pass catchers. We need playmakers. I think when it word comes down to, instead of defining the position, man, I think we need playmakers. We need, because we don't know with Suggs' certainty that Steve Smith came out and called out Suggs' injury because they both had the same injury, but Steve Smith is progressing very well, versus I hear that Suggs is not, so I don't know if Suggs created a setback or if he re-injured it somehow. I don't know, but apparently that's a concern because Dumervil can't do it on his own. I'm happy with Za'Darius Smith. Za'Darius Smith, the rookie, played well for us this year to bolster that. So if we can get these guys, so I think what we need is playmakers. We need guys that, like Antonio Brown or an A.J. Green, guys that you can just chuck the ball down the field and you know they're going to get 150 yards and a touchdown every Sunday. It's a given. I mean, if you look at their stats, I mean, Antonio Brown against the Browns. Steelers, you know, unfortunately, they backed into the playoffs. It sucks. You know, the Jets didn't help us out. But Antonio Brown, 150, 180 yards and a touchdown. It's like clockwork. You know what you're getting with these guys. With us, it's like, other than Steve Smith, I mean, you know Steve Smith was balling this year. there wasn't no players other than Aiken that stepped up, but if Steve Smith wasn't catching 150 touchdown, no one else was. So it was kind of like you can't zone on that one guy. We need multiple guys out there. So I think that's what we need to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. We definitely do need playmakers. I'm talking about like the top three are usually like quarterbacks or those type of players.
But that, I understand. You're right. Top type picks. I mean, how often is number one overall pick either a quarterback or a running back?
Right.
I mean, well, the Chiefs bucked that trend. I mean, they picked a lineman first overall. I think it was Eric Fisher, or I think it was his name. So, I mean, other than that, I mean, you go by team needs, but the Ravens usually don't go by team needs. They go by best player available every time. And that happened with Mosley, and we landed gold. We struck gold, you know, Pro Bowl rookie, first ever in Ravens history. I mean, it happens, and we thought Ravens were going to go receiver there. I mean, look at the top talent receivers that were there. So, I mean, but you can't fault that. I mean, we need a stalwart to take over for Ray Lewis that can never fill those shoes, but Mosley's handled it very, very well. I agree
with you that definitely, like, receiver is a place we got to look at, but we still haven't seen our number one pick from this past year, Breshad Perriman. So
don't get me started, man.
Yeah, so he missed his entire rookie year. So are the rate like we'll talk about this in the draft. We don't have to go in depth on this one. We'll talk about this when we get closer to the draft. But like, do you go with another receiver at number six? Because look, you have Steve Smith coming back. You have Kamar Aiken, who is going to be a restricted free agent this offseason. So you have Kamar Aiken, Steve Smith. They kind of are the same player. They run the same routes. You don't have somebody who can stretch the field like Breshad Perriman was supposed to be. So really, you got to think about you have Smith, you have Aiken, you potentially have Perriman coming down. I agree with you, though. The biggest thing you got to think about is the corners. That's what you really got to think about. That's where I think the defense really lacks. That's our biggest hole that we definitely have to fill with the draft. And, you know, I'm looking at a list of either restricted free agents or just unrestricted free agents. The one cornerback that we have coming up is Sharice Wright. And this article is saying that there's a good chance that he gets re-signed because Lardarius Webb could be moving to safety if they cut Kyle Arrington. And Arrington, I was not impressed with at all. I would kind of agree with that cut. So with that draft pick, there's potential of us drafting a corner. But again, like you said, if there's a receiver available, we could go with a receiver. If there's somebody else available, you know, we could go with somebody, whoever it is at number six. Number six is kind of like that comfy zone where you don't have those giant, high-profile, big-contract guys, but you'd still have guys with a lot of talent available.
Right, man. I mean, it's definitely going to happen for us, and I think as we get closer to the draft and break that down, we're going to see the talent pool unfold and what we really need versus what we have the wish list as fans, you know, like, oh, I wish we can get this guy. I wish we can get Beckham. But you're right. I mean, you look at a Beckham, you look at a Brown, you look at a Calvin Johnson, you look at a Dez Bryant, you look at Julio Jones, who's a beast. I mean, you look at Demaryius Thomas, you look at all these top flight receivers. I mean, yeah, it's not all about that because, I mean, I even joked and it is a fact. I mean, you can look it up. How many playoff wins do all these elite receivers have? Maybe one or two total combined. So, I mean, and let alone Super Bowl wins. I mean, Anquan Boldin's got a ring with us. Torrey Smith's got a ring. You know, those unsung heroes, you know, they have a ring with us. You know, so, I mean, you know, Derek Mason has more playoff wins. So, I mean, it's just, you go on, and I mean, role players usually play. I've always said that I'd rather not have that superstar receiver and people think I'm crazy, but I'm like, we never needed it. We need a running back, set up the running game, bolster the lines, get corners that can cover, and it's the AFC North. It's pretty much smash mouth football, take care of the football, and get back to it. The Ravens have never had that guy. And, I mean, we've lasted – look, if you're telling me that we've had a top flight – not a top flight receiver for the last 20 years in existence, we have all these playoff wins and two Super Bowl trophies, imagine what we do with that. So that's what I'm saying is I'm not saying we would never draft one because we never need it. It's just like I was saying, we have lived without it till now. So when we do – how much better could it be? And especially for Akko in his prime coming off an injury. We'll definitely cover that this offseason on his progression and hoping to get that back. But in the game's respect, I thought it was well played, well coached. I mean, it was close. I mean, we had the lead 9-7 at halftime, did we not?
We did, yeah.
I mean, we were feeling great. I mean, if we can just convert those into touchdowns, we just couldn't. We didn't have the offense personnel. I mean, you had Ryan Mallett, you had Mac Williams catching passes, you had Egan, you had Butler. And the Butler touchdown, I mean, it scooped the ground. I knew it scooped the ground well before it was called back. But, I mean, they still made the plays. and they were within eight. I mean, you look at the whole season, it's in total, Brandon, minus the two in a row blowout games at home, the Seahawks and the Chiefs, 14 out of 16 games were 8 points or less. That's impressive, man. So you figure one possession games, a touchdown and a 2 point to tie. A couple of the games were 3 and 2 points, maybe a field goal, we win. Obviously, there was. I mean, Jacksonville beat us by like 1 or 2 points. So, I mean, a lot of the games could have went our way. Jacksonville, obviously, the phantom call gets called. We win another game, so we're 6-10. You make a couple plays here. We're 7-9. We're 8-8. So, I mean, we could have had a few, two, three more wins. We wouldn't have been the playoff mix, but we would have been hovering around 500 in a top 15, top 20 pick versus top 10. So, you look at it that way. I have to give it as a team. And people thought Harbaugh was crazy when he was like, this is – and he said one. This wasn't the most rewarding because obviously we won Super Bowl a few years ago, but he said this was one of the most rewarding seasons. And obviously us covering the team inside, people inside the organization only know what that means. And Justin Tucker echoed that in his post-game interview with one of the Ravens guys. And he was saying the same thing. He goes, this has been really rewarding. They learned. I mean, and like Harbaugh said, this is what's such trial and tribulations that this team didn't fight. And I, like I said, I got emotional after the Steelers game when we won and we beat our rival. And that picture that Mallett was, you know, hugging Trestman, and that culminated the emotion. That's what it's about, man. This team didn't lay down and go, oh, we lost Flacco, we lost T. Smith, we lost Suggs, screw it. Let's just go lose some games because we suck. No, we went out there and Aiken started making plays, and Za'Darius Smith stepped up, and Jimmy Clausen came in, and Ryan Mallett came in, and we made plays. Proud of this team, man. 5-11. I'm telling you right now, you might call me crazy. Anybody outside may be like, look at this guy, but I'm proud of this 5-11 franchise right now. These five wins have been special. They've been hard fought, and these 11 losses, they sucked. There was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of rooting hard, a lot of late nights, staying up to watch the late game sometimes, and one of the most impressive wins of Monday Night Football when we blocked that field goal and ran it back. That was joyous, man. There are some special moments this year, highs and lows, but looking back, the Cincinnati game, we could have made plays. We had the drive. We didn't get it done. You know, Mallett made that throw. I mean, it was got picked off, and I predicted the end of the game. The guys I was watching the games with next to me, he goes, "What do you predict here?" And I'm like, "I predict we're going to drive down the field, but Mallett's going to throw a game-ending interception trying to make a play." And it happened. He looked right at me, goes, "You called it." And I'm like, "It's just how I see it, man. It's just I just felt that the Cincinnati was coming and smelling blood at the end of the game, and I just think Mallett didn't have it in him." But again, you know, great effort, man. I was very proud of the effort in Cincinnati, and ended up in a loss.
Yeah, I mean, it was a loss, but I like we said, this is kind of like our pre-season. This is the auditions for next season. Ryan Mallett, he's definitely the guy that a lot of people are predicting will be the backup to Joe Flacco. Of the right. Three other quarterbacks we've seen, I would say he is the one to impress the most. But of course, he does have his antics off the field that do have a lot of people a little concerned. But it seems as if he may have outgrown them, getting cut by Houston a couple months ago. So we'll see what happens with him. Max Williams. I was very impressed with Max Williams this game. He definitely is showing it's a rookie season, but he's growing and he's learning from a lot of stuff. He did miss a game or two due to a concussion, but this game I think Max Williams was really able to shine, and he was able to show what he can do with again Dennis Pitta's future being very much in doubt. He's not coming out and saying that he's not going to be able to play anymore, but it all signs are pointing to him not being able to play again. But Max Williams is looking good in Pitta's absence.
Absolutely, man. I definitely was very excited to see Max Williams making plays. I mean, and you know the Nick Boyle story, you know, with him being there for you and Spencer. So we definitely had the playmakers coming back for us, and we already know Pitta's injury and the extent of that. And a lot of people are asking me, Josh, hey, is he going to come back? I don't think so. I think it's just because that injury, you can't risk him being paralyzed the rest of his life. And the way he went down with not a major hit. He went down on his own trying to turn upfield after catching a football. So if it's that fragile, what could you expect if he gets hit by a linebacker or a safety trying to come up to make a play and jar the ball loose? He could really paralyze himself. So he has to think about his future. You know, yeah, it might be great to play, but I mean, his greatest memory, you know, a couple of the great memories of Dennis Pitta, man, is – is the catch in the snow, the catch one of the touchdowns when me and you were there, and definitely the second touchdown catch in the first half of the Super Bowl. He was on the highlight reel and made a great catch at a bullet pass from Flacco. So he's definitely had some great memories here, but what's done is done. I mean, you can't undo the damage, and you definitely don't want to see him injure himself.
And another guy I want to bring up, and we're going to kind of talk about his future here as well, Kelechi Osemele. He's a guy that got drafted, I think, the first year you and I were doing the call, and we've seen him kind of move around on the offensive line a little bit here. He moved over to left tackle in the last couple games, and he looks like he's been really good, that he's been able to shine there. But given the fact that he has been able to shine and do pretty well, does that mean his price tag is going to be too much and the Ravens might not be able to afford him next year? So overall, this past game, I liked what I saw from Osemele, but now I'm worried about the future. Is he going to be a part of this Ravens team going forward?
I think so, man. I think what we want to see is these guys back. I mean, Justin Tucker is a free agent, so is Osemele. So we want to see these guys back. It's just a matter of can it happen? I mean, we got to make sure the front office has enough money to go around and budget for it. I mean, it is the NFL. We have a salary cap, and there's going to be cap casualty. So we got to see if we let some of these guys go, we can free up some cap space. And it's going to be all systems forward to see if we can afford him. But I would love to see him back. It definitely would help us in the long run, and especially protecting Flacco when he comes back. And I think it's definitely going to be a helpful asset going forward if we can keep him.
Yeah, and if he can protect Flacco, does that mean Flacco gives up some of that money and restructures his contract to make room for guys like Tucker and a guy protecting Flacco's bud, Osemele? So that's going to be another big question mark going forward. How much is Joe willing to give back to the team so they can continue to build and get that money back they need? Because Osemele, he's going to have a nice big price tag, and he's going to be a free agent. But I got to assume Justin Tucker, it shouldn't even be a question. I think you got to re-sign that guy as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. I mean, you got us. I would think he would have to be resigned. I mean, I just can't see the Ravens letting him anyway. What might happen is if they can't reach a deal, they're going to slap the franchise tag on him. And I think that's the best thing to do, you know, get the average of the highest paid salaries and kickers and let it go for 1 year and then restructure a long-term deal. I don't see the reason why not. The Ravens have, I mean, granted, Matt Stover left and went to the Colts, but that was after Matt Stover's great years. I mean, Justin Tucker's in his prime. I mean, you have to figure Justin Tucker's rookie year was the Super Bowl year in 2012. So we're going on his fourth season. So Matt Stover played, 15, 17 years with us before he went to the Colts, it seemed like. So I figure Matt Stover went there on the end of his career. It was like the Adam Vinatieri thing. I mean, Adam Vinatieri had, you know, 3 game-winning kicks for the Patriots in Super Bowls, but it was time to cut ties. I mean, it happens. But and then he went on to play for the Colts again as well. So I think we get it done with Justin this year. I think, you know, this coming up, we get it done, get him a nice long-term deal, and then, you know, from there, who knows, maybe he stays for less money or goes elsewhere. But I see the Ravens slapping the franchise tag to keep him. I don't see him getting away, and if it is, that would be a huge blow. I mean, you don't want to say kickers are dime a dozen, but the guy, he's accurate. We know what he can do. Yeah, he has some off kicks this year, but hey, we could go on grass. I mean, we've seen some good game winners in grass and in the turf alone. So I can't wait to see if they can retain him, which I think that'll happen.
And so looking
and Flacco would restructure money. It has to happen, Brandon, and to your point, because Flacco's never been that selfish guy. I mean, you don't want to compare apples to apples here, but the Brady situation happened too. I mean, Brady got a big contract, and then he restructured so they can re-sign some role players to align him in and some defensive guys to help the team. You know, some quarterbacks like, no, it's my money, my contract, and they're all about me, but I don't see Joe being that. Joe Cole's Joe Cole. I think he'll be gracious enough. I mean, he got, you know, some guaranteed money up front. I mean, Joe's Joe. He's set for life. I don't see him being greedy here. I think he will restructure. But again, it's a business. So, and again, who knows what him and his agent have talked about in their game plan going forward. We don't know. And again, with the injury uncertainty, I don't think he'll command the money because, again, this is his first real major injury in his whole career. So I don't think that he's going to say, hey, pay me $30 million cap hit because I'm worth it. I mean, we already know he's been there, done that. He got the big contract. I think now it's time to let's get the pieces again and revamp. And I think he'll do that.
And we'll see if he does. I think he will too. I think he's a smart guy, but you know, this is his career and money is money, but we'll see what Joe decides to do. So I think that's pretty much it for covering the last game, but I do want to bring up some news that came out with the guys cleaning out their lockers and exit interviews. Terrell Suggs, there's a great article, WNST, a local Baltimore sports station. They put out an article, Luke Jones put this out, about the fact that Terrell Suggs, he went out in week one. He was on the sidelines for week 16 watching the Ravens Steelers. He was still wearing his boot on his foot for that Achilles injury. I also in this article, it says Steve Smith had an Achilles injury as well, week 7. He's already out of the boot. So you got to imagine with Suggs still in that boot, that can't be a good sign for the way that this Achilles tendon is healing. If he's already in week 16 and still in the boot, is there any question to you that could we have seen the last of Terrell Suggs? Could this injury really be taking him out? Because it sounds as if the rehab process and the healing process potentially may not be going as well as everyone had hoped.
Yeah, I did read that, man, and it's definitely something to really look into, because that's an interesting thing. But and I hear from fans that we saw him on the sideline, but the fans that I watch games with, they actually showed me pictures. He was actually at Horseshoe Casino, still in that same boot. He was jovial. He took pictures with them, and Barry was joking, and he said he's trying to heal up for the season. They asked him about it, but I mean, obviously he's being hush hush. But that it could be a concern because. But who knows? I mean, different bodies, different measures, but you have to fear it's the same injury. But what is the extent of it? We don't know. But with that being said, it is January. We have 9 months till September, you know, eight months of training camp. So, I mean, I would think he's 100% or close to it by then, but I think it could be blown up in proportion as media likes to do and make that a story because the Ravens are done and we want to look to other news. And we have to be careful because we know not to spin NSD. NSD is a positive source. I mean, I've known these guys for a while. But I'm just thinking media in general. You have to be careful because media likes to stir the pot. So, yeah, that is a valid question. It's a valid point because Steve got hurt in week 7. You know, Suggs got hurt beginning of the year and it's the same injury and Suggs is still in the boot all the way through the year. But you never know. Him being on the sideline, you don't know. Being in game action, players do end up on the sideline, you know, running down there. So maybe it could have been a precaution, let's say, you know, because I don't know if Steve Smith has any pictures in public. I've seen them, but not sure if he's out of the walking boot. People have seen it. But I'm saying let's get all the facts. We don't know. But visually, it doesn't look good. But again, let's see what happens.
Here's another thing, too, about seeing Suggs on the sidelines on week 16. I mean, it may have helped him to actually be on the sidelines for that game, hearing the crowd again, you know, because you miss something like that, something you really love doing. Rehabbing cannot be fun, you know, when you expect to be out there on Sundays. I'm sure
I had to do it twice. It sucks.
Yeah.
Not in Achilles, but it sucks. I broke a couple bones. It's rehabbing. I was on crutches for 2 months. It sucks.
Yeah. And here's another thing, though. Besides the injury, Terrell Suggs, he's been more reflective, you know, saying that he's on like the back nine of his career. He's brought that up before this season. I don't know if you noticed this. I noticed this. I didn't bring it up though, because, I kind of forgot about it when we were recording. You see the hat that he was wearing on week 16 on the sidelines. WNST's article brought this up. It had a number 92 on his hat. Is there a chance that Terrell Suggs, he's very close with Haloti Ngata, and we know number 92 was Haloti Ngata's number. Could he have entered this season, you know, kind of being a little depressed that he's not playing with one of his good buddies right next to him as well? I mean, he's wearing a hat with 92 on it. That could mean anything, but given the fact that Suggs and Ngata were so close and now Nada's not there, Suggs isn't on the field, you know, he's on the sidelines. Maybe he is getting a little dose of reality, realizing, you know, what his age is, where his friends are going, that maybe he is kind of going through the fact of knowing that, yeah, you kind of have less years in front of you than you have behind you now.
Right, and that could be true, but remember, he did sign the last-year deal here. He wanted to retire as a Raven.
Right.
I don't think he's going to be not on the team. I mean, if he's not playing, he's probably going to retire. I mean, you figured last year might be his last year at all, let alone maybe two max. So you figured I really have to look at his contract and when he signed it and how many years it was. I think it was 3 or 4. So, I mean, he's probably in the last legs of that. Steve Smith's here, coming here next year to play his last year of his 3-year contract. He's retiring after next year. So maybe him and Suggs ride off in the sunset and retire together. Both could be, you know, we know Steve Smith's probably a Hall of Famer. Suggs could make the case for it, depending. You have to look at the numbers, but who knows? I mean, they could be on that discussion in 5 years if they both retire. So, we can definitely look at it, but I don't think he's going elsewhere. I don't think it's going to be not a situation where it's like, thanks, but no thanks. We had that discussion. I think Suggs is going to be another Raven for life and Yanda to follow, depending if we what happens with him. I mean, we had – but with that being said, I mean, it, right now it's just a speculation at this point.
Yeah, so we do have the presser coming up. We've kind of covered what we think they're going to talk about with Suggs, with a couple other players. Is there anything else you think they're going to really bring up, or at least the media is going to ask at this end of the season press conference? Because besides the players that we've already talked about, personnel is the only other question I have, because I have a feeling like strength and conditioning coaches may be looked at. I don't think Harbaugh is going anywhere. I don't think Mark Trestman's going anywhere, unfortunately. But is there any personnel on the sidelines or in the front office you think potentially could be leaving the team?
It's tough to say. I think Trestman's still here for a year. Harbaugh ain't going anywhere, despite reports. Philly wants him. We know it's highly coveted. It happens, but Harbaugh's ain't going anywhere. I mean, we want to say Pease could be gone. We really don't know the personnel. I mean, I think more or less it was a defensive issue, because I mean, Pease did turn around. They had a great year statistically in the second half. So we think it's more personnel coaching. I think a secondary coach we could revamp. Ed Reed's name's been thrown around, not with any local media, but we understand Ed Reed's passion to want to coach. And he's been, you know, he jokingly said he would take the Miami head coaching job at the Hurricanes if they called him. So, I mean, I would love to see an Ed Reed come in here, maybe secondary coach, because we need a guy, a ball hawk like that to coach us. And who better else than Ed Reed, who knows how to do it? Yeah, he's a safety, but he can coach these guys and know how to coverage. So I think we need a revamp in some coaching, maybe some special teams there coverage-wise. I mean, apart from the Cincinnati game, I thought our special team coverage was horrible. You know, it just was sucky, man. It just, every time we go back there to try to return it, the blocking wasn't there. We were getting blasted. Could have had a couple fumbles. I think it's going to be more personnel on the back end than you're going to see the coordinator change. I think those three stay. It's going to be personnel changes that could happen.
All right, man. Well, I think this was a pretty good red eye review. Did we cover everything?
Brandon, 5-11 of all the trials and tribulations, my friend. Another season in the books. Thank you. Happy New Year to all. But we covered this one to the max, man.
All right, very cool. Another year, my good friend, and it's been fun. We've revamped the call this year, and it's been a lot of work. I'm not gonna lie, guys, it has been a ton of work doing two and a half, maybe three shows, some might say, a week. It is a ton of work, and it's been a lot of fun, but man, what a season we've done. We've really put our blood, sweat, and tears into this season, and even though the Ravens came up with a loss, I feel as if, you know, we've made some great strides as podcasters. We've met a lot of great new people that have listened to the show, so it's been a ton of fun. But if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. You can tweet to Josh or I. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, they can tweet me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. So, guys, like we said, the presser is this Thursday. It's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If anything comes from it, any kind of news or whatever, we're going to be back on Thursday night recording another show. I expect something newsworthy to come out of that press conference, for instance, at the end of the year. And Josh and I will be covering that. Past that, guys, we're still going to do some one-off shows. Whenever news breaks, you will be the first to know, because we'll be doing a show about it. So if Justin Tucker resigns, if the combine comes up, the Super Bowl, I mean, there's plenty of stuff. Even though it's the offseason, there's still plenty of stuff for us to talk about it. So stay in contact with us, guys, and let us know you guys are listening and when you want us to do a show as well. But follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. And whenever we, news happens or something happens in Ravens world, we will be back and we will be talking about it and figuring out where the Ravens go after whatever they do, whoever they let go, whoever they sign, whoever they draft. We're going to do all kinds of stuff. The offseason might be the offseason, but we're still going to be around. So go over to brandocash.com, like us over there. And I'm sorry, you can like us, but you can't really click a button there. You get all the information you're ever going to need from brandocash.com, and then go to facebook.com/brandocash, like us over there. If you guys love the sound of my voice, you can listen to me on my other podcast, What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast, and we cover the Washington Capitals and the NHL. So you can check me out over there. You know, we do a show every Wednesday night. We cover the Caps, the Hershey Bears, the South Carolina Stingrays. So we're all over the place with that. Guys, be social with the show. The season might be over, but your love for the Ravens still should be there. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the Red Eye Review this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you very much. It's been a great season. I appreciate all you do, man. I know you handle a lot of the editing duties, and I wish I can take some of that burden off of you, but you have the other podcast, but you always mention you love doing what you do, man. You love doing it.
It's always a good time, man, and it's always good to talk Ravens football with you. Can't think of a better person to talk about Ravens football than when with you, buddy.
Appreciate it, man, and you know, maybe I really can't wait to see what happens with the Capitals this year. So we'll definitely be tuning in to What the Puck and turning our attention to the next best thing right now, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And they're looking great. And anybody knows that they are. If not, listen to the What the Puck. It's great in covering the first place Capitals. But it's been, speaking of the Ravens, it's been a great year. But it's just been one of those trials and tribulation seasons. But we've had fun. And like I wanted it, and like I predicted, I told everybody I wanted to lose this Sunday because of this. But hey, the Steelers didn't beat us. Yeah, they snuck into the playoffs, and they got to win one, and it sucks. We have to watch them play the Bengals. It's going to be fun to watch anyway. But the Steelers' first win of our season came against them in their house. That's two in a row with their place, given the playoff win. And the last win of the season came against us, so we bookend five wins, two of which, so you figure 40% of our wins came against our greatest rival. How sweet is that? So you can't really complain this year. I mean, we knocked off the Steelers twice. We were in every single game. Guys, it's been fun. It didn't end up in the playoffs this year. I wish we were covering a wild card weekend or a first round bye and we were in a divisional round, but we will soon. We'll get back to the playoff trips, and we'll definitely be at it covering the offseason. Everybody, stay tuned. It's going to be fun, and we're going to be putting the podcast out there covering the presser and the end-of-season state of address with Bishad and see what he has to say. Can't wait to see it and hear it. And we're going to be putting our Super Bowl predictions out there and following the NFL playoffs. So you can always find me tweeting. I'll definitely be putting my predictions out there, and I really can't wait to see who ends up in Super Bowl 50, and can't wait to see in a month on when it happens. And here we are, guys. It's been great. Another season in the book of the call. Stay tuned this all season. It's going to be another great ride building this team and getting healthy. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this off season.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.